14th chapter of Exodus. And Moses said unto the people, hear ye not, stand still, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. How wonderful did God display in this particular chapter his omnipotence and his almighty power, and also his determinate counsel that nothing could overthrow his purposes, which were to ward the children of Israel. And so it was that he made it known that he was with them, notwithstanding all their rebellion, notwithstanding all that they had in their feelings toward Moses, their leader. Indeed, had they been left alone, as they said they'd asked to be left alone, they would have never known the great mass and the power and might of God as displayed toward them in the overthrow of their enemies. How wonderful it is that God, in his great mercy and love, does not deal with his people after their sins, nor reward them according to their iniquities. But he will chastise, as he did these people, but he will not forsake. And all his determinate decrees and purposes must and shall and will be fulfilled toward each one of us here before him this morning. Whatever we may attempt to do, though we may be among those as described in God's word, sought out many inventions and had many thoughts of our own as regard our condition before God, might have been like Job and many others that cannot understand his dealings with us. Yet, at the same time, he causes all these things to work together for our good, that ultimately we may have cause to praise and honor and extol his holy name. It was so here after their great deliverance, the children of Israel, I mean here, how they were delivered and how they sang praises unto him, and also how they believed and feared the Lord and believed his servant Moses. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. How many of you, I wonder, have entered into this earthly courts this morning full of fear? There are various kinds of fears. There is a fear that hath torment. There is a fear which comes upon the children of God, lest they might have mistaken the way, lest they may not be one of God's people, lest they may be deceived, and so on. Many fears. And then there is a fear, and that's most precious. That is a filial fear of God. So we need to know the difference between these fears. But this fear here, which I believe Moses was saying, fear ye not. He knew that the people feared because of their enemies. Now we needn't look around to look for enemies. We do not want to get on that ground this morning. But we have many enemies within us. I have found of late, these are most treacherous and are most detestable, and they are hateful, I believe, to God. It'll cause us to fear. They'll make us fear unless we have not the root of the matter in us. We shall fear because we are not what we would be. We shall fear because there'll be times when we shall know there are certain things that transpire within us that are not according unto God's word. Well, these are our enemies, and these are those which will cause many clouds to come over our pathway. And these clouds will be so dark and lowering sometimes, we shall fear lest we might be overcome. You know, the disciples had this fear. They feared, it says, as they entered the cloud. There was a cloud that came and overshadowed them. And as they feared entering that cloud, you see, it was that God, in his love and compassion, should make known unto them that wonderful revealing of Christ upon the mount, when you see he was transfigured before them, and how they felt, rightly so I believe, though they were reproved for it. Of course, we cannot stay in that place, you know. But they enjoyed it in that way. They wanted to abide. And I am sure that when you are in fear, according to any particular pathway you may be in, if God should come and reveal himself to you, it will cause you to desire to remain in that place. And it will desire, you may have a desire, even in that place, that you might be able to be taken even into the immediate presence of God himself. But you see, we're not to remain there. We have to come down from the mount into the low places, into sorrows, difficulties and trials afresh, to know still more of his greatness. All these things that you and I are passing through, as it may be at this time, are to make known more fully the greatness and the majesty and power of the Almighty God. That the children of Israel had already passed through many trials and many difficulties. And yet you see, they were just like us. Immediately they came into fresh trials. How they began to complain and even said, would to God we had died in Egypt. It is an awful thought that they spoke thus. Well, are you and I any better? Hadn't there been times when we have been rebellious against the pathway God has been leading us in? We said, well, this is never right. And we've been in a place, perhaps, where we've said we'll have no more of it. But you know, that's silly talk, really. When we come in that path to say we'll have no more of this or that or the other. God is mightier than man. He is greater than man. Therefore, it's your mercy and mine that he dealt with us and does deal with us in love. May I say here, he remembereth our frame, or knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are dust. And he seeth man as he is. But when he comes, and according unto his love and mercy, begins to work upon any particular person, he will in his love and pity reveal unto them that the way they are being led is by his own divine purpose and counsels. Fear ye not. There's one here that just come into the house of God this morning fearing. May I say, fear ye not, for greater is he that is for you than those things that are against you. Greater is he, for we believe that we worship this great and mighty God, who here delivered his people out of the hand of the hosts of Pharaoh. Does there seem to be a host against you, sinner? Well, you will, if you're one of God's people, you'll find a host against you. And it'll be a mighty host. And I'll tell you who's the head of it. Satan himself, my friend. But you remember this, that he is the Lord God of hosts, proved here. He was over the host of Israel. So he is the Lord God of hosts. He's over the hosts of hell. Not all that may come against you, though Satan with his mighty power may come and insinuate and almost make you believe that you're reprobate. Though he may come and fire his fiery darts at you and bring up many accusations against you, indeed, he may say some things that you know to be true, that you cannot deny. But it'll all be in God's hand to drive you unto God for mercy, to draw you unto him, to cry out unto him that he will deliver you. It is true, I believe, in God's hand that he will ultimately cause you to know that there was no need to fear, that he was on your side, that he was near at hand to protect. And then there may be those who may fear because of the mighty waters. They say, well, I can't pass this way. There are these many things that are so deep, such deep waters to pass through, that I cannot pass this way. And if you fear, well, God says, fear ye not, by the hand of Moses. Fear not these mighty waters. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle against thee. Fear ye not. Fear not what may be before you. I know it's easy to say these things, but the word says fear not. It's your mercy and mine if we are enabled to come to God's word and for it to be made applicable to our cases when we need it. So then there may be those who are fearing those things that may be looming up before them. I've been that path where one has feared and could see these mighty waters before them, and how we feared lest we should be overcome by the place we were in, the place we were in. And so there was fear. But God in his love and compassion, his own time and way, came and delivered us from all our fears. Well, there were things here with these children of Israel that they feared. You see, the enemies were behind them, driving them, and the sea before them. I feel this to be true, that Satan will attempt to drive God's people. And I believe he'll endeavor to overthrow them. And there will be times when he'll be behind, as it were, driving us. And there will be those things before us that seem to hold us back. We cannot turn to the right hand or left. Well, what did God say? Speak unto the people that they go forward. I shall never forget, if I may break away a moment, I shall never forget when our dear old friend Mr. Hope was here one week evening, and he spoke from those words. It caused me to feel I had to go forward in the ministry, you know. I don't often speak of these things, but we don't forget those things that have been made applicable to our cases. And there is, I believe, not only in my own case, but in the cases of God's people, there are times when they come into a great strait, like one said in the word, I'm in a great strait. And so it is then, there are times when there is that exhortation needed to go forward. May I say this here, as it's come upon my mind, if there's one here exercised concerning the ordinances of God's house, here is the word, speak unto the people that they go forward. And my friend, if that word is made applicable to your case, I am sure there will be opposition to it. And you are having opposition, if there is one here, to that very path. But may you be led to look beyond Fear not thine enemies. Fear not those that are opposing you within. But may you be enabled to press forward, and you will find, and I know this is true, that these things that you fear, like the mighty waters of the sea, will be divided before you. They will indeed, and there will be a straight passage, and you'll see your enemies within you are dead. Oh, may I say here and now, what is holding you back, friend? Is it that you are fearful? Fear not. So then, it's a mercy to have this filial fear, too, that we fear to do what is not right in God's sight. But when it is a fear, this sort here, spoken of, it is for us to look up unto God, that we may go forward in His strength, for His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It is indeed. May you, poor trembling sinner, who may be trembling in much fear, cast thine eye heavenward, even unto Him that sitteth upon this throne supreme, preeminent over all things. And there breathe out your prayer before Him. Cry with a lamentable cry in thy fear unto Him. Pour out all your heart. Never let Satan tempt you that your case is too simple or too small. There is nothing too small or too large to bring to Jesus. There is no trial, no difficulty, however much you may fear it, that you cannot bring to Him. For He understandeth the simplest, He does indeed. Oh, how simple are the prayers in God's word of His people. Lord, undertake for me, I am oppressed. Lord, look upon me. And so there are many short prayers in God's word. And may I say, I believe in those short prayers that have been spoken in the word we find, have entered into the ear of the Lord God of Sabaoth. And those sinners have been delivered out of their trials. May I say unto you now, my dear friends, any of you in trouble, any of you in trial, any of you in difficulty, fear not. Come unto Him with thy good. Cast it in His dear sacred feet. Cry unto Him again and again. Give Him no rest. May you be able to go forward in prayer. May you be able to go forward against all those things that come in against you. There's someone here this morning passing through these things, I believe. Going many things before them, and they have many fears. And they may feel that they cannot pray. Well, that's not an unusual path for God's people. But you've heard me say before, it's to say it's the time you are praying really, when you can't pray. For there is that desire going forth from thy poor heart, that none can forbid it to rise. Isn't that a mercy? Nothing can prevent a prayer rising from the heart of a sinner. However much there may be coming against them, even the world and all what is in the world, all the false things that are in the world too, cannot forbid a child of God to pray. Like it was with the dear martyrs of old and many others. And like it was with dear Hannah, you see nothing to prevent her praying unto God. She had fears and how she came before her prophet. He said, put away thy wine. Oh, how he misunderstood her. Ah, you see, she says, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And now she desired something at God's hand. Only her lips moved. Oh, I say these vital prayers. Fear ye not, then. Come boldly under the throne of grace, that ye may find grace to help in the time of need. These sinners won't come with a presumptuous boldness. They will come with a humble boldness, a fearing boldness. That seems strange, isn't it? A fearing boldness. Well, they come in fear. They get a boldness. Boldness that riseth from living faith. Knowing that he is able to save even unto the uttermost those that come unto him. Well then, speak unto the people that they go forward. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, therefore I believe that God's servants are commissioned, that they may rightly exhort the people to fear ye not, having walked those paths where we be in much fear, and have proved his delivering hand at the time of great need, both providentially, spiritually, and in everything here, in this time state. Oh, how we need it too. God's servants need it in the ministry. This word, fear ye not. If I know anything of the path, surely they go with much fear from time to time. It's a mercy to have this fear, not to go with a presumptuous boldness before God in the declaration of his truth, not to be high-minded, not to be lifted up with pride, not to be lifted up with those things that shall be to make people think something of us, but rather that we may be among those that may be received by a few poor, fearing sinners, by a few that desire the unadulterated truth, and not to fear either the frowns of men, nor court their smiles, but to fear him who hath committed these vital things into their charge. Fear ye not, stand still. It's one of the hardest things to do. I say that's one of the hardest things to do, to stand still. I know that for the living witness. The word of God says, fools, they will be meddling. And you will find my words true, that in trouble, we often, and more often than not, try to right these matters ourselves, try to put them, as we think, in the proper order. But God will come sometime and he'll cause us to stand still. And like it was with dear Manoah and his wife, how they stood still and beheld the wonderful works of God. How it has been with some of us, how we've been favored, perhaps for the season, to stand still. I remember this many years ago, when we were favored to be able to stand still. No murmur. Satisfied with his afflicting hand. Satisfied with the trials we were passing through. That sounds strange to nature, doesn't it? Stand still. So that there is a standing still sometimes in the midst of trial, afflictions and sorrows. Knowing that he is that one that hath commanded us to stand still. And ultimately we did see and shall see again, I believe, his hand is a hand that makes a way in the deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. It can indeed, but stand still. So then, to stand still, as a hymn on this, I believe, concerning stand still, some think it's very easy, but it's not so easy as all that, you know, as I've just said. But to be able to stand still in a right way and watch and behold his wondrous works toward us, where he's made a way in the mighty waters, where he has divided the sea before us. Say, when we've been in the rivers of affliction and sorrow, and he's come and divided those very waters, and we've gone through those waters by faith in Jesus, dry shod, we've been able to stand still and see his mighty works, to see what he has done for us in this wilderness. Cast thine eye back, sinner. Has he done anything for you in the past? Let not his mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, and without praises die. Has he never divided any of these mighty waters before you? Has there never been a time when in some form or other he's made a way for you, where there seemed to be no way, like it was with these people, and he hath delivered you? Fear ye not, stand still. And it was in this standing still that they were to see the salvation of the Lord. So that if you are favored to stand still and cast thine eye heavenward, there you will by faith behold thy salvation coming from above. Doesn't come from beneath. Thy salvation cometh from above. And while this was the salvation of the children of Israel here from their enemies, as regards the historical part of it, that they were saved from being overcome by their enemies, one would desire to look a little deeper here, how it affects us in our experimental knowledge of the truth. So then there is a fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. May you be enabled to stand still here and see from whence cometh thy salvation. It cometh from the Lord. There is no salvation in the other. There is no other way whereby you may obtain this salvation. Only from the Lord. He was the one that obtained salvation for us. And this salvation is unto people that were just like the children of Israel. Those that were alienated from those things which really were for their good and benefit. So then, and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, they'll be seeing it by faith. That salvation which Christ obtained for us here on earth when he died to put away sin. Salvation, 'tis a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. Lord, may this grace in me be found by I, redeeming, loving joy. So then, that is this salvation, which is of the Lord. And so then, when this salvation is made known unto a sinner, it is made known in and through and by the operation of the Holy Ghost in the soul, and there it is sealed and signed and settled within. Now if you have this, there will be, as it was with the children of Israel, after this deliverance, they came into many other trials, and very soon they came to the waters of Marah. And so you will find that those who are partakers of this salvation will know what it is, though being delivered from the mighty waters of sorrow, in a very short time will come into other sorrows. Like dear Bunyan said, well, ere one sorrows all, troubles all, another nothing sees. So that there will be, in the pilgrim's path, sorrows, trials, and difficulties, which they cannot overcome themselves, and it's a good thing they cannot. For I'm sure, if they try to overcome them themselves, they will get in a deeper muddle and a deeper trial. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, sinner, and he shall sustain thee. Cast all thy cares, all thy troubles, all thy sorrows upon him. Some say, you speaking though is easy. It's not easy, but I say, may you then be enabled by faith and be given grace to cast these things upon him who careth for his people. He does indeed. So then, though they receive this salvation, God's people receive this salvation, they do find they need again and again to have it made over anew. Is there one here who is desiring that he would renew unto you his former loving kindnesses, even when you went after him in the wilderness, the days of your first espousals, when he was to you most precious? Oh, how some of us would love to feel a renewing of those times when, in our youth, we went after him in the wilderness and went to the house of God, panting, hungry, thirsty, our ear open, every word that was spoken by the servants of God, listening if by any means we might receive some little help, and longing for that day to come when we might know something of the salvation of the Lord. Here it was we were unable sometimes to stand still and listen with an attentive ear unto the word that was spoken. Oh, what a mercy it is if we can, any of us, look back a little on those days and desire in our hearts now as we get into the evening of our life to have a renewing of it, to again have a revival of those blessed times we had, even in the house of God, and also sometimes, privately, but they're young in years. Oh, what a mercy we come even to die, and give some poor sinner here some precious renewings of those former loving kindness toward them. Well, can't you say, with a dear poet, his love in times past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in sorrow to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Oh, how I've thought in the past week that I had the great necessity of being right with God, to have our house put in order. You know how the word came to Ezekiah, put thine house in order, that thou shalt die and not live. Do you know how this caused him, didn't it? It'll cause you to do it. If you have that exercise for a few moments, he turned his face to the wall, turned himself away from everything else, even unto God alone. Do you know how God heard his cry? Sinner, if you've got anything troubling you, whatever it may be, turn thy face to the wall. That means turn away from everything, everybody. Don't look at others or anything of that sort. Turn yourself away from everyone else and everything, and in secret cry out unto God. And though he knows your case, but nevertheless, tell him all your case, tell him all what you feel, and lay it bare before him, and lay, as it were, there, even using the words here before us, stand still, even on that very spot, on the ground of prayer. It's a mercy to be able to stand still there in prayer, leaving the issue in his sovereign hand. Oh, you know how David said on that occasion when he was in a great strait, let me now fall into the hand of God. Though it says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of God, well, it's a blessed place, because we fall into his hand, he's just, he's righteous, he's not an unjust judge, and he knoweth all things. And he rewardeth a man or woman according unto those things that they deserve. He does indeed. Oh, if he gave us all we deserved. I've often thought if he dealt with me after my sin, I'd have been hell long ago. But he's merciful, long suffering, great in compassion, and doth pass by the multitude of our iniquities. He does indeed. Here it sometimes will cause us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See that salvation that covered us from the wrath of the Father. That salvation that presented us before Father, holy and undefiled. That's a depth I've never been able to fathom, and I'm sure no human thought can ever fathom. How that a sinner, foul and black and vile as we are, can be justified before the Father, that he sees us without wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Well, you know, it is in and through the spotless righteousness of Christ. Is in and through the purity, holiness, and the finished work, and the salvation that God obtained for us. It's a mercy to be able to stand still here and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still even at the cross of Christ and see his great and blessed atonement. That atonement that was so wonderfully made known unto sinners, even at the cross, the us. Oh, how he loved us with an everlasting love. Loved us ere time began in the eternal covenant. Loved us ere we had a being. Loved us before we were born. Loved us when we were brought forth. Loved us in our evil days when we went Galileo-like with the world, desiring their pleasures and all the things that were around us. In that love, that he should love us even then, that his watchful care was over us, his preservation, that we could not neither drown nor be killed in any other way, preserved in Jesus when our feet made haste to hell, and there should we have gone, but he does all things well. So then is salvation, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. Oh, that this may be known to some poor sinner here, that his salvation may be shown you today, that his salvation was free unto sinners like you. You have been hovering around, it may be, on the brink of the fountain of that precious atonement. Perhaps years. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. He shall show you that though you are a sinner, vile and base and far off, that in him there is plenteous redemption, in him there is deliverance, yea, in him is the full and free remission of the vilest of sins. Does Satan tempt you that you sin beyond all hope? Well, you're just the sinner for Christ. You're just the one to come. Those that are tantalized by Satan and who's ever endeavoring to prevent a sinner coming, this is one of the great enemies of a child of God. It's tread right over the path and prevent a poor sinner coming to Christ. But you, if you are favored to stand still on that ground, to come to him and cry unto him for deliverance from your sins, there is none too great. All the many evidences there are, not only in the Word of God, but in the history of those who have gone before us, or the many characters that have been vile that God has called and made them monuments of grace. So then, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks.